It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Tomorrow being the 4th of July, for a lot of Americans, that means fireworks. Coming up, the Oshkosh Fire Department tells us how to celebrate safely with sparklers and firecrackers at home.
First, whether you love them or hate them, big community fireworks displays, they're all over Wisconsin. But cities are also struggling to keep up with the rising cost of putting on these festivities.
In May, Milwaukee County Parks announced that they would be canceling their popular July 3rd fireworks show because of lack of sponsorship. And the Monona Community Festival, which puts on 2 days of events for the 4th of July, including a fireworks show, is marking its final year.
Eric Redding is president of the Monona Community Festival. It's a nonprofit and volunteer-run organization. Eric, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me today.
Well, before we get into your organization's decision to stop putting on its 4th of July festivities, take us behind the scenes here. What goes into planning a community fireworks show and the events that surround it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. You know, everyone sees those fireworks for about a half an hour on July 4th, but we start planning pretty much July 5th is when we start thinking about the next year. We really start planning in January every year to put together all the festivities that everyone loves, from your beer tent, your carnival, to all the kids' games, the crafts, the art fair. All of that takes dozens of hours per activity to put together. So we start pretty early to put everything together that everyone sees over the couple-day festival.
And what is your volunteer force like on a project like that?
That's a great question. What should it be is about a group of 20 people, over 20 people, that should be there to put that whole group together. But unfortunately, we're right now down to less than 7 people that are putting all of these activities together. So we're really struggling right now to put the event together. The volunteers that are left are doing a fantastic job. I can't thank them enough for what they're doing to keep this event going. But it takes a lot to put a community event together, and 7 folks just doesn't cut it. And so that's why we're struggling these days.
How dependent are you on community sponsors and getting those sponsorships?
Yeah, that's a huge piece of funding a festival. You know, the days of just the proceeds from a beer tent supporting an event like this are gone. As the cost of everything else is going up in the world, it's going up for community festivals as well. So one of the things that we have been fortunate to get a lot of donor support over the last several years from different businesses in the area that have been supporting us. But it takes a lot of time to go out and knock on doors and talk to these folks to you know, get those donations and do all the different promotional pieces that they then expect. So it takes a lot to do that. But those sponsor dollars have really been key in order to keep this festival and a lot of other community festivals going in the last several years.
So it sounds like that decline of volunteers is one of the pieces here that's led you to this decision to end the festival. Can you talk about what is behind that?
Yeah. You know, it was a decision that, you know, was very difficult for us to take. You know, all of the volunteers that we have that are running this event are people who've been doing it for 10 plus years. Many of us grew up in the community, so we remember being the kids sitting out on the park lawn watching the fireworks. So it's something that we don't want to see go away. You know, we love this event. We love the community. But unfortunately, you know, there's, you know, only so much time in the day. We all, you know, it's a volunteer organization. We're juggling our personal lives. We're juggling our work lives. And we're just getting to the point where, you know, being burned out and not able to continue in the way that we expect, in the way that we would like this event to continue. So instead of seeing the slow decline of our event, we, you know, made the decision this year to, you know, declare this our last year and kind of go out on a bang, go out with a lot of fun, go out with a lot of energy, and instead of seeing the festival kind of slowly die off.
And this festival has a decade's history in the community. Can you talk a little bit about its origins?
Yeah, so it's been about 60 years. It started in the 60s and 70s called the Monona Fun Days. It was a small little get together, and for several years was held just in a parking lot. And then over time, the community kind of came together, built this organization and grew it into what it is today, the Monona Community Festival. And since 1985, this organization has been holding this annual 4th of July festival down in Winnequa Park in Monona. And it's been just generations of people in Monona that have been volunteering, but have also been attending the festival. We have been hearing lots of messages from folks of multiple generations, from grandparents, parents, and kids that have been attending this festival and have fond memories of it. So it's come a long way. It's impacted lots of people's lives. So, you know, it's obviously a little sad that we had to announce that this was the last year.
Eric, have the inflationary pressures affected this decision? Have you seen, like, the cost of fireworks go up?
Yeah, definitely. The cost of everything is going up, from, you know, all of our expenses for food and beverages to insurance. The cost of fireworks, you know, our, you know, 30 minute or so fireworks show, you know, it's about, you know, $1,100 plus per minute worth of fireworks. And that cost is going up. We've been very fortunate to have a really good partner with our fireworks team where they've helped to kind of manage those costs. But, you know, just like we see at the grocery store, the cost of everything is going up. Those inflationary pressures are hitting us, and it's making it more and more expensive to hold the fireworks.
I wonder, with Monona at this intersection, at this junction of saying, you know what, let's retire this particular festival, do you have advice for other communities trying to sustain their own 4th of July celebrations and continue their viability?
Yeah, you know, the biggest advice is to find those group of volunteers. You know, there's definitely avenues out there where you can find funding from sponsors and different, you know, fundraisers and things like that. And there is a element in Monona that's right now that's trying to revive this event for 2025. So there's some optimism that this might not actually be the last year. So that's some positive news. But that requires a lot of volunteer time. And so it's for local communities, it's finding that core group of volunteers. But then it is just, you know, putting in the hard work. To there's sponsors out there. There's local businesses that want to see these activities, you know, continue. It's reaching out to those folks. It's other different types of grants that are out there and available. These are all different things that can be, you know, can help the cost of the event. And it really takes the time and effort to focus in on these different revenue sources and, you know, going after them.
Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Eric Redding, president of the Monona Community Festival. And now for fireworks safety, let's bring in John Holland, public information officer for the City of Oshkosh Fire Department. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Welcome, Brett. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excuse me.
Sure, sure.
Happy to be here.
So we've seen the latest report from the Consumer Product Safety Commission showing that injuries from fireworks increased overall between 2008 and 2023. What do you make of this uptick in injuries?
It really doesn't surprise me. More people are doing fireworks at home, and people just aren't paying attention. They're so used to doing this, they think that it's just safe, but people have to remember you are playing with fire.
What kind of safety issues do you see in Oshkosh when people set off their own fireworks?
Well, first of all, people are using illegal fireworks, and those are the most dangerous ones. And what is illegal in Oshkosh and in Wisconsin is anything that shoots up into the air, like a bottle rocket and beyond, and anything that explodes, like a firecracker, and of course, beyond.
Okay, and so you see people using those illegal fireworks, and that can also be certainly drive some of those safety concerns. We also see kids who may enjoy playing with sparklers. What should adults know about sparklers and their safety?
We view sparklers as a, like you said, as a kid's firework. And but what most people don't understand is that sparklers burn at over 2,000 degrees. That is hot enough to melt metal. So again, we think of this as a safe firework, but there really is no such thing as a safe firework.
So with fireworks, do you need a special permit to use them if you do want to set one off, or how does that work for backyard celebrations?
Well, all I can speak to is here in Oshkosh, and there are permits that some of the fireworks stores sell. They mean absolutely nothing. They're just a way for the stores to get a little more money for you. The only permits that we provide that are legal are for the large professional shows like the ones in Monona.
So for people who are looking at putting a, you know, on their own little backyard display with sparklers, maybe some firecrackers, what are the big safety tips to keep in mind?
Big one is have a bucket of water there or a hose that is ready to go, just in case something goes wrong. Adults should be the only people lighting fireworks. Kids should never, ever be lighting them. And I can't believe I have to say this, but we have had some fires with this. Don't light and shoot off fireworks inside.
Oh, dear. No.
It seems like such common sense, but it's like, you have got to be kidding me. And I guess a big one that would lead to the injuries would be trying to relight a dud that doesn't go off the first time, because to do that, you get your face right in there. And obviously, that's when the injuries happen.
Do you, as the Oshkosh Fire Department, have to staff up a little bit more around the holiday? How do you approach this holiday?
For us, it's just another day. We don't do anything differently, but we are fully staffed 24/7, 365 days a year. We have six fire stations spread throughout the city, and we just hope nothing goes wrong, but we are prepared if something does.
So for people who dislike fireworks, or, you know, what advice do you have for people getting their homes or pets ready for a night of fireworks?
That is a tough one. It's a very tough one. I know for pets, there are medications that can calm them down. There's the thunder shirts, things like that. But I think instead of for people to get ready for this, it's more of neighbors being aware and using a little bit of common courtesy. It is not only pets that fireworks can bother, but it's also veterans. And we kind of forget about that. Veterans that have PTSD, it certainly and understandably can cause a problem. And we always talk about how much we love our veterans. Well, here's a really good way to show them that we do and not go overboard.
John, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
John Holland is Public Information Officer for the City of Oshkosh.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, the maximum security prison in Waupun is in turmoil. We talked to families who are speaking out about the conditions.